Let's pray. Father, thank you for the awesome privilege we have of entering into your presence, being with you, singing your praise because you're worthy. Enjoying all the benefits that you purchased for us. Help us to treasure them rightly. And Lord, now as we open your word together, we pray that you would speak to us. Jesus, you are the word made flesh. You promised to never leave us, that you would be with us always to the end of the age. So we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would do a work in our hearts. We're not here to gain more information. We're here because we want to hear the word of our commander-in-chief. Marching orders, we want to be eager to obey you, to follow you, to do what you ask of us. So Lord, give us hearts that are delighted in you, overflowing with joy in you, and eager to please you in all things. Make our lives pleasing. And do a work in our hearts by your Spirit that only you can do. We ask it for your sake, for the glory of your great name in all the earth. We ask it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. It was good to be back. And last week, Daniel spoke about craftsmanship. We got to listen to it on the way home. It was great. I appreciated him filling in for that, and you can be thankful and blessed that we have people here that can teach God's word. Talked about craftsmanship, how God is the master craftsman or the potter who picks us up out of the muck, out of the mud, who molds us and shapes us into the very thing he intends us to be, something useful, something beautiful. And he intends for us to enter into his creativity. He has gifted us. He has invited us to join him in his creativity as he fashions beauty out of dust. I like to take the beginning of the new year as an opportunity to look at who we are, why we're here, what we're to be all about, to refocus. And Daniel set this up for us when he talked about craftsmanship. God has taken the initiative. He had to take the initiative because clay can't form itself. Like the demon-possessed man that Jesus set free, it's grace. It's all grace. Undeserved kindness. We were dead. We were enslaved. Christ set us free. He scooped us up out of the muck. He forms us into something beautiful, something useful. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save what is lost. He came to redeem, to buy us out of the slavery that we had willfully sold ourselves into. He came to pay our price. God humbled himself and became human so that as a human, he could enter into our mess to pick us up, to pay our price, to take our place. That's what the incarnation is all about. God the Son, born of a virgin as a human baby, so that as a man, he could legitimately take our place, suffer our punishment, perfectly submit to and obey his Father in everything where we disobeyed, thus fulfilling all righteousness. He came to take our place. But there's another part of the incarnation that I want us to see today. And my prayer is that this would cause us to wonder and to worship, to stand in awe of Him, to rekindle our passion for Him, to be useful to Him, that it would ignite our amazement and our love for the church. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in under the seats near you. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the classic marriage passage that you've probably heard in wedding ceremonies. I want you to listen carefully to what it says. Ephesians 5, verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. This passage teaches a husband how he should love and serve his wife. It teaches a wife how she should respect her husband. But Paul, in writing this passage, had something much bigger than this most fundamental human relationship in mind. He is telling us that our human relationship, the marriage relationship, is an illustration, a picture of a greater reality, the relationship between Christ and the church. A man shall leave his father and mother. Jesus left his father's side. From the cross, he discharged his responsibility for his human mother to his beloved disciple. And he now holds fast to his bride, us, the church. You see, Jesus took on human flesh at the incarnation and has now become one flesh with his church. Allow me to read Ephesians 5, verses 23 to 32, focusing only on what it tells us about Christ and His church. Now, this passage is very legitimate to use in weddings. It does teach great truths about the marriage relationship, but that's not my focus today. So my focus today is, what does it teach us about Christ and His church? So I'm going to skip the parts that are specific to the human relationship and just read the parts so we hear this bigger picture that Paul has in mind. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. The church submits to Christ. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Christ loves the church as His own body. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The church is pictured here as a bride, sanctified, adorned, loved, sacrificed for. The first part of this is Christ's sacrifice. He gave Himself up for her. Jesus died for the church, to sanctify, to cleanse, to make holy and blameless. He took our sins on Himself. He is our Savior. The second part of this that we must not miss is why? Why did Christ give himself up for the church? Why did he pay for our sins with his own blood? It says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. Jesus intends to take us, to be his own, to hold fast to us, to be united with us as a husband with his bride. This passage tells us that Christ has become one flesh with the church. Christ is the head of his church. The church is called his body, his own flesh. We are members of his body. This is simply stunning. It is staggering to think that eternal God, unbounded by time or space, entered into his creation, became part of his creation as a baby. Tiny fingers and toes, eyes full of wonder, fragile, dependent. He took on flesh. He became human. Jesus has entered his own creation physically. And now, he says, we are his body. His hands, his feet, fingers, toes. He is our head. We have become one flesh with him. We have been united to him. We are his body. When it says the church is his body, that's the picture. You have a head and the body. We're the body of Christ. This boggles the imagination. We're connected to Christ as intimately as our bodies are connected to our heads. We are now bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. Now, when my stomach grumbles, my head says, hey, it must be time to eat. And my feet bring me into the kitchen and my hands put together something to eat and stuff it in my face. When I smash my thumb with a hammer, my head feels the pain. And my whole body kicks into action in response. My whole body gets involved. We are connected like that to Christ. We are one flesh with him. We thrive under his authority. We are nourished and cherished because we are part of him, his members, connected to him. At the incarnation, Jesus took on flesh so that he could become one flesh with us, his church, his body. We see this throughout the New Testament. We'll pick mostly on Ephesians. Back in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the Father put all things under the authority of Jesus and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We, his body, the church. We are the fullness, it says, of him who fills all in all. I take this to mean that he fills all in all by means of us, his body, the church. ESV Study Bible notes says the church filled by Christ fills all creation as representatives of Christ. He who fills all in all, we are his fullness here. The expression of who he is in our community. Ephesians chapter 2 points out the horizontal unity brought about by our vertical unity that we have with Christ our head. Because we all, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, rich and poor, doesn't matter, colors, differences, we all have been united to Christ. And because we're united vertically with Christ, we are knit together with one another as a body. In Christ, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He has reconciled us both to God in one body through the cross. Through Him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. In Him, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Chapter 3 tells us this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Because of our vertical unity with our head, Christ, we are knit together into one body, and we have unity with one another despite whatever differences we may have. The body of Christ is an organic unity. It's a living organism. Ephesians 4 verse 4 tells us there is one body and one spirit. And just as the head directs a physical body, so Jesus directs us. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, and our spirit animates our bodies, so the Holy Spirit who lives inside every believer connects us as one body and animates us to do what our head desires that we do. Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Verse 11, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This body of Christ, the church, is united as one and gifted for building up the body. You see, every believer is to be equipped for ministry, for service in love to others. Whatever grace you have been given is not just for you. It is for building up the body. We won't go there this morning, but 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, that section talks about the gifts. They're given for the common good. They're not just for me, they're for one another. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Down at Ephesians 4 verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see the body metaphor literally fleshed out here? A body is made up of many parts. The human body is fantastically equipped with joints and ligaments that hold everything together in a functional, in a useful way. Do this right now. Open your hand and make a fist. One of my favorite things with our babies was when this tiny little hand would wrap itself around my finger and grasp my finger in a fist. Did you know that the human hand is made up of about 29 bones, 29 major joints, about 123 ligaments, 34 muscles that move the fingers and thumb, 48 nerves, at least 30 arteries. That's just one hand. To be able to do this. Notice it says when each part is working properly. Have you ever had just one part not working properly? Now, a few years back, Deanna injured her finger. Just one joint was damaged. Now, if you think about that statistically, 28 out of 29 joints were still working fine. That seems like that would not be a really big deal. That's 96.5% functionality. That seems pretty good, right? Now, if you factor in all the parts, and I added up the list I gave you, 293 parts, that's probably a low number. I'm not in anatomy, so those of you that are might know more than I do. But just a quick Google search came up with that. 293 different parts of the hand. She's only got one thing wrong. That's 99.7% functional. 99.7% of the parts are working just fine. You should be just fine with less than 0.4% not working, right? When she signed her name, it no longer looked like her signature. She couldn't make a fist. She had a finger sticking out. She couldn't grip things. She would drop things because she didn't have the ability to hold on to them. And it was incredibly painful. Just one tiny part. Ask her if it made a difference. You might be tempted to say, just one part. I'm not even a very important part. I won't even be missed. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, every part needs to be there. Every part needs to be functioning as it was designed to function. You matter. The head notices when a part is not functioning properly. I've had a few conversations recently, end of the year, out of town. People asked, how are you doing? How is the church doing? It's been a hard year. Just over a year ago, October 2017, we sent out a number of people who were very involved in serving here in this body to plant another church in Gunnison. And that left a very tangible hole in our body. Our church family gave birth to another church. And birth is a joyful experience. There's nothing like it. But birth is also a very traumatic experience for the body who gives birth. And it takes time to heal. I think we are healing. I think we are recovering well. And we can rejoice in what God has done and is doing in us and through us for His glory. We rejoice. The birth of a new church has created opportunity for those who have maybe been less involved to step up and become more involved here. But what we long for is that the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning, questions I want us each to think about. They're in your notes. And I hope you have a pencil or pen, because I want you to write answers to these questions in your notes right now. How has God, in the riches of His grace, gifted me? How has God, in the riches of His grace, gifted me? Go ahead and write. But I'm not gifted is not a valid answer for the believer. Okay? So if you started to write that, you can scratch it out. And I don't know is weak. Unless it is followed by, I don't know, but here are the ways I will pursue finding out this week. That's fair. And there's a lot of people around you in the body that can help you with that process of, I'm really not sure, but I want to know. And I'm not just going to be content to say, yeah, I don't know and I don't really care. Find out. Ask. I want to encourage you to discover who you are in Christ, what He's created you to be and do for His glory. How has God, in the riches of His grace, gifted me? How am I using those gifts to their maximum capacity for the glory of Christ? Now that question has some room in it to say, well, I'm using my gifts in these specific ways, but probably not to their maximum capacity for the glory of Jesus. So maybe here's some ways I can grow this year in pursuing maximum effectiveness for God's glory. How am I intentionally engaging in building up the body in love? See, the body of Christ is a unity of many diverse, unique members. It's a community. It's a place to belong. To be a part of something bigger than yourself. To contribute to something bigger than yourself. And I believe that when functioning properly, the church is much, much greater than the sum of all its parts. Imagine taking a knuckle and putting it on the table. It's like, hey, look. Look at what it, that's great. Like, well, that's kind of gross. It needs to be connected to the ligaments and bones and the other parts. How am I intentionally engaged in building up the body in love? How am I connected? We are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The goal we are striving together toward is given us in verses 11 to 13 of Ephesians 4. I skipped those earlier. It says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're aiming for. So pursue the unity of the faith. Pursue the knowledge of the Son of God. Pursue Christ-like maturity. build up the body. As we close, I want you to listen carefully to the exhortation Paul gives in Romans chapter 12. He says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Father, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for taking on human flesh so that as a human, we can be united in one body with you. You are our head. And you've created each individual one of us. You have gifted freely by your grace each individual one of us to be useful to the whole, for building up the body in love, to love and serve one another, to love and serve our community. Lord, we can try to do better, but without the empowering of your Holy Spirit, it will be dead works. So we ask that you would give us a greater dependence on you. Help us to lean into you more, to recognize this is so far beyond us. We cannot do this in our own strength or power. We need your empowerment to serve in the strength that you supply so that you get all the glory. So Lord, fill us with your Spirit and use us for your glory, and give us hearts inclined more than anything else to please you in our love and service to one another. May you do this in us for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you're all done writing the answers to your questions. If you would just take out your pen and write your name and phone number at the top of your paper, send it to the aisles. The deacons will collect that. We'll be talking to you. I'm totally joking. But the goal is, like that song expressed, this is offering our hearts to the Lord. Not to me, not to somebody else in the church. This is an act of service to Him. So I would invite you and encourage you to take those questions seriously, to pray through those, to grab a fellow believer and ask questions, to work together through that, to say, what could this look like? So often we're not great at self-evaluation. I should have had you hand your notes to the person next to you and say, you fill this out for me, I'll fill it out for you, and then we can talk. Do that this week. Grab somebody and talk through some of these things. Say, you know, I really, maybe I don't feel like I have gifts. What do you see me? What do you see in me that the Lord has done that is useful to the body for building up in unity and love? And then pursue, what does that look like? What does that practically look like? And ask questions. Give me a call. My number's in the bulletin. Say, hey, I'm not sure what to do with your message Sunday. Let's talk. Call my wife. She'd be even better than me at help answering that question. Talk amongst yourselves and let's pursue together the glory of Christ. And I have to say before we go on is, I mentioned earlier, if you're a believer, you have been gifted by God for usefulness. If you're not a believer, this is an invitation to you to receive the free gift of eternal life that He holds out to you, that He purchased with the blood of His own Son, and He says, I want to forgive your sins. I want to welcome you into a relationship with me. You need to receive that gift this morning. If that's you, I'd invite you to just take some moments right here, right now, before you leave this room and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner and I want you to come forgive my sins, to cleanse me, to make me yours. And I want to enjoy a relationship with you. So would you apply the blood of Jesus to me? Would you cleanse me of my sins and make me new so that I can enjoy a relationship with you and launch into this journey of what it is to be a part of your body, the church? If you have questions about that, please ask. We want to walk with you and help you through that process of giving yourself, trusting in Jesus completely. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. May you use your lives to bring great glory to Him.